Hello, my name's Artie. I'm an addict. I haven't got that big banner on my screen saying it's recorded this time. Welcome everyone. Thank you for asking me to share, to come along. Lovely to see Terry. I haven't seen him in quite a long time. And Shireen, people who were in NA in London when I arrived. Johnny B, always lovely to see, even though he's hiding again there. And Kelly, James, and Beck still holding the fort at the online meeting. So, if I didn't say hello, I don't know. I think that's Anthony in the background there as well, hiding. And Abby Kerr, wave if you can hear me, Abby Kerr. Where is you, Scotland, Newmarket, or Gloucester? Go on, come up and tell us.
We're in Gloucester.
Hello, oh, lush, lush.
Lush.
Yeah.
Thank
Right.
you.
So yeah. So hi everyone. So my name's Artie. I'm an addict, and I'll get some recovery in first, just in case I forget. So, what is it? I don't know. What is it? What's the date? Oh yeah, in a couple of days, I'll be 14 years and 6 months clean in recovery. My journey hasn't involved a relapse since the first week of being in NA when I made the decision to give this a go. It's not that it's all been straightforward and simple. Far from it, really. I've got a sponsor. I'm not doing service online at the moment in agreement with my sponsor. We're trying to set up a face-to-face meeting and a and I'll get back to doing service of that kind then. And I've got sponsees that I meet up with regularly, speak to, go through the literature, the steps. I'm on step 11 still in the step working guide. I say still, there's been a bit of a pause on that one. So I've got like, I work the program imperfectly. I say the program because, I hear often, I'm going to share loads of opinions and probably swear, just to let you know. This is not like an NA website share. This is XA speaker share material, this one. And just to make sure, fuck, fuck, fuck. Yeah, I love drugs. They're fucking great. Yeah, I just don't use them anymore because they ruin my life. So yeah, let me just get them little bits in. What else was I going to say? I forgot now. That took me off track, that one, off piece, that one did. So yeah, people who say my program, I didn't know there was such a thing. I didn't arrive in Narcotics Anonymous with any sort of recovery program that was had any evidence of working. I'd had nearly 20 years of trying to stay stopped. I say trying to stay stopped because I've stopped on numerous occasions. I'm primarily an opiate user who can't stop smoking crack and taking benzos and drink if there's nothing else available. But primarily, my primary drugs are like opiates and that. And so I know they say in the readings, we don't care, but I cared. I cared. I wanted to where people use drugs, where I used them, like I used them. And I know there's lots of different, people who used in different ways, and that's the strength and diversity of the fellowship. I understand addiction and what I suffer from. I understand that the overriding thought to use, in spite of the evidence of what it was doing to my life, had me for decades. And that wasn't the drugs. It confused me thinking it was the drugs. It confused me for a long time because I managed to stop for short periods. And that gave me the illusion that I had power and control over it. And that led to like nearly 2 decades of misery, just that one concept that I had. And I didn't know any of this when I got here. I thought I was quite an intellectual, smart guy. And but honest to God, I was like childlike, naive, and stupid in me thinking when it came to using drugs and how to successfully yeah, well, successfully used. That's the old thing, isn't it? My using, very much like most people's come across in Narcotics Anonymous, is even though I didn't know it was all one about control and fear, and I didn't know that stuff. If you told me I was scared of anything, My first reaction would be to punch you in the face and say, who's scared? I thought that was bravery. Can I just say something? I don't know what's happening with Abby Kerr, whether there's people with experience of recovery before or not, but it's amazing. It's amazing that there's, I've got people that I'm in contact with at the minute who've never, they're like a year clean and haven't been to a face-to-face meeting. It's so it's the power of addicts coming together with the purpose of recovery is it blows me away. Because that, to be honest, I do think of Zoom meetings as spiritual methadone. They don't quite hit the spot, but they will stop me getting too sick and just enough to keep me going until I can get the real gear. Because that's what methadone did for me, exactly that. So, yeah, it's absolutely fantastic that, you know, this will work because a power greater than me is just combining my thoughts on recovery to enjoy life. So, I mean, I am a literature advocate. I am solid around a bit of literature from Narcotics Anonymous and how the fact that a book, the NA basic text primarily, Living Clean, which is speaking my language these days, and it's got some additions there that are beautiful. Not as keen on the step working guide, but hey, it seems to work for a lot of people. I do prefer It Works How and Why, the book that the step working guide is an accompaniment to. And if you're working through a step working guide without one, get a new sponsor. I don't know. They're not guiding you right. And read the introductions to the books when it gives you instruction on how to use them. Where it doesn't say, give somebody a step working guide, send them away. And when they've finished answering the questions, come back and read it. That is not how it's supposed to work. But hey, I said I had opinions, didn't I? Right. So let's talk about being a newcomer. Cool. Arriving in Narcotics Anonymous with a head on me that didn't shut up, that had 1,000 different activities going on at the same time, and I didn't know that wasn't normal. You know, it took me years for a simple penny to drop that if I'm taking drugs of any description, drugs that their function is to alter your mood by changing the chemical balances in your brain and changing the neural pathways. So basically changing your brain. When you stop using, you're not in reality. I wasn't in reality and I didn't realize. So I'd spend the first few days detoxing and then thinking that I was all right now, but my brain still wasn't right. It was still going on mad mystery tours all on its own and feeding me loads of ideas that I'd sit there going, yeah, that's a good idea, isn't it? Yeah, that's what we should do. I thought that I would have my own best interests at heart, but underneath was just that quiet obsession to lead me back to using the drugs again. You know, and I spent a life confused and lots of failed attempts at detoxing and staying stopped, to the point where I believed the lie that I couldn't stay stopped, that I had to use, that this was the hand that had been dealt by God, the universe, life, and I had to make the best of it because I can't do it because I'd had no success at it on my own. And it's funny that straight away that lie starts to get dismantled in Narcotics Anonymous when I sit in a meeting with like-minded people who tell stories similar to mine and they've managed to stay stopped. And I look at them and I think they're definitely not smarter than me. Hey, they haven't got any special abilities that I haven't got. Hey, some of them are better looking and younger, but that's about it. Hey, I reckon I could have a go at this. But I dared to dream just a little bit. But I'll tell you what happened from a newcomer and attending, you know, I remember attending this Trafalgar Square meeting in 30 days. And I heard this guy, Nick M. And he was so funny. I remember, and they used to record them on CDs back then. and then sell the CDs the next week, record it on an MP3, put it on a CD, selling it the next week. And we bought this CD and I heard my laughter on CD. I was like, fucking hell, I've arrived. I'm on CD. I'm on a recording. I'm famous in an anonymous fellowship where nobody knows whose fucking laugh it was. But I just went on a little tangents again then, innit? I was mad as I was completely crazy as a newcomer, still listening to my own head. And like, and what I did is I set myself targets. I set myself targets. So I done my detox in Narcotics Anonymous. I done it in the rooms by doing 3 meetings a day. And after 5 days, I started snatching a few hours sleep here and there, which is all like, is quite different. And I've got stories to tell about my first meetings and that. I might squeeze one in, but generally I went, well, there's 3 doubts as a newcomer in my experience. And the 3 doubts are this: does this stuff work? And then you're in meetings and you're listening to people share, like they're 5 years clean or they're 4 years clean, like Sue. Shireen's probably about 20 or so by now. And they're still coming here. And I'm thinking, well, it works for them. It works for them. This stuff does work. I've got to give it to them, but it works for them. But the second doubt was, well, but would it work for me? So I remember I've done this. Yeah. I've done this detox, and I was homeless at the time. And I got involved with this charity. They were the ones who sent me to Narcotics Anonymous. And what I had to do is detox and show them willingness by attending meetings at least twice a day and reporting back to them. And if I did that well enough, they'd give me a charity bed in a men's rehab, a 12-step rehab, peer-led. And I did that. And so I was about 30 days clean in a rehab, now a safe place. It's just men, no staff overnight. We ran it ourselves. Basically, it was a crack house that we got housing benefit for and done groups. That's what it was like, really. And I've done this life story, read it out, and I've done the first half of step one. 35 examples of like destructive behavior and attempts to stop and substitution and all this stuff around addiction. And I realized I was standing outside the meeting smoking instead of being in the meeting. And it's still only 30 days. And realized that I'd done step work and I was still here. And I started to think, cool, this stuff works for me. I'm actually doing it. I'm doing all the things that they say. But there was the third doubt as a newcomer for me was, and I'll describe it like this. During that process of the first 18 months I had clean, I had this sense that something was going to come along and take this all away. Not of my doing. Something from the past will catch up with me, bite me on the ass. Something's going to go wrong that's not of my doing. And I realized what that was the third doubt. Was like, am I worth it? Am I worth this recovery? And that was the thing that I had to like face and confront and deal with. And I didn't even know that haunting feeling of it was all going to be taken away because I didn't think I deserved it. I didn't think I deserved recovery because of the guilt and the shame that I was carrying because of how I'd led my life. All those experiences in addiction, doing things I didn't want to do where, you know, it was like evidence of, Sue said it before, and I used to think the same. I thought I was a good person. There was no evidence for it. All the evidence said I was a shitbag, an absolute shitbag you shouldn't have anything to do with. And so I've come into recovery of all that stuff, lots of stuff to work on. And people are talking a different language, you know, spiritual awakening. My mum was a very violent Glaswegian Valium addict and who died from this disease at 47. But she'd be very violent, mixed up and that. And she'd have a bottle of vodka and go over to the spiritualist church on the hill by the station. Everyone's got a town where there's a train station with a hill on it, isn't it? So over the hill, the back end of nowhere, and even the front door was side on like that, rickety. And they'd all go up there, the spiritual church, and try and commune with the dead. So that was my only reference for spirituality. So I've landed in NA with all you kooks talking about higher powers, spiritual awakenings, and some of the stuff. You know, it's like I've told this story loads of times. Sitting in church basements in a circle in the dark with candles, doing incantations, holding hands at the end and chanting. I'm like thinking, cool. Yeah, and that one, it's a cult. It's not a cult. You can leave at any time. You're free to leave. But you'll die. Hey, it's madness. So you're like a newcomer who's thinking, my level of conversations are like, who's got? Is it any good? Will he turn me on if I'm a pound short? Does he accept shrapnel? They were the levels of conversations I used to have. Hey, will he take these two T-shirts for a tenner bag? So when I arrive and I get like, I mean, I did have that rock bottom. The obsession in my mind at the end of my using what I'd say, not out of ways and means to get more, but how to kill myself because I was no use to anyone. And then there was just a little something, a little light, a little... My rock bottom was a whimper. It was none of this like crying out stuff. It was just a little, I can't do this anymore. That admission, that was the first admission of, I just can't do this anymore. All my other previous attempts were, I just can't do this just now anymore. But when I'm better, something like Sue said, I'll have another go at it. I'll be able to. And I was always looking for that, you know, combination of, only don't use for 3 days. Don't use for 3 days. You'll be all right. And on the fourth night, not sleeping, going, shit, I need a time machine. I need a time machine. Just go back a day. And they were the best ideas I had before getting lock me up in a trailer. Lock me up in the trailer and don't let me out. Only give me food. And it doesn't matter what I say. Don't let me out. These are the things. Hey, go. You know, go to a monastery and get prayed over. And it is mad. So when I arrived in NA and I seen like the steps on the wall and the things like God, I weren't too put off by that because I was that self-obsessed. I thought I need something biblical. You know, like I got brought up in the Catholic Church and I thought these fantastic stories they're telling about whales swallowing people and then they pop out the other end, and parting of the seas. Well, I need a bit of magic like that to stop me using. So maybe they're onto something, might be onto something. So like, and I was fortunate enough to have nowhere else to go. So like getting back to the story, 30 days clean. I've done the first half of step one and I haven't used. I was angry. I was fucking angry. I was angry in that first half step one and trying to control everything. You know, you get presented with examples of powerlessness. So you want to try and exert power over it. It's just a natural reaction in the process of the step. So, yeah. And then, so I set a goal. I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do because, you know, that writing, it just seemed too much. A step four, a fearless and thorough personal inventory. And it doesn't matter that the literature says, well, maybe you don't want to think of it as a moral inventory, maybe just a checklist of rights and wrongs and all that. And I'm thinking, my whole life has been a litany of doing wrong. It just seems too much. I can't, that would take me years to write that, especially with my writing skills at the time. You know, I remember like, the first page of me life story, I'd only got to about 18. And like the two pages of writing in capitals with a couple of lowercase words in the middle, about 38 commas, no paragraphs, no full stops. Aye, childlike. As so I was daunted by the prospect of writing all these massive things. Cool, already. Anyway, maybe I should sort of get on a little bit in it. Right. Anyway, obviously, recovery for me has just been a succession of small challenges, little fearful challenges, like asking a sponsor, what if he says no? What if he says no? Putting my hand up for service in a face-to-face meeting, they might reject me. And it's just all these things that are coming internally from me that none of them ever come true. In fact, my sponsor did say no at first. I was in treatment. He says, you're getting your life managed by another organization. When you're finished, come and speak to me. And he was hoping that I'd go away, but I didn't. I've had the same sponsor for 14 and a half years as well. And yeah, he's not getting rid of me. I'm not asking somebody fucking else who might say no. And anyway, so I'll tell you why I asked him. He had 5 years clean approaching at the time. And he'd had 5 years before that of getting it wrong, constant relapses. And I thought, he knows what not to do. I'm not stupid. I might be insane, but I'm not stupid. I'm going to ask him because he knows what not to do. So I would do what he says. I should be all right. And I was talking about the goals. One, I've probably got like 4 minutes left. My first goal was I'm going to aim for 9 months clean. Because I'd had 9 months off opiates in the community once. I'm going to aim for 9 months clean. And if it's shit, I'll go back to using. I should have a better idea about it. But this is not in the basic text, by the way, what I'm sharing now. It's just what I did. And then on that journey, I left treatment, working with my sponsor. And I went, I'll tell you what then. I'll wait until I finish these steps. And I had a pal, and he's dead now, sadly. Tony S, I went through treatment with. He was great for me. He didn't manage to get this, and he's died as a result. And we had a deal that, like, when we got to the end of the steps, we'd have a little use up together. So that was our deal in the first year. And then what happened is I used the energy, the drive, and the desperation of my first 18 months to work through the 12 steps. So I've got to the end of the steps, but I've gone over a year now, and I thought, I'll tell you what, I want that black key ring. When I get that black key ring, then I'll have another little look to see whether this is all worth it. But what happened along that process was is that I had that personality change that they're talking about. I dealt with the unresolved resentments and the underlying issues about why I hated myself so much, and I exposed them to the light. And I worked with a sponsor to, like, look at it, right size it. You know, at the core of it, and other fellowships deal with this, is that for whatever reason, I just don't think I'm worthy and deserving of love. And that all sat where I come from. You don't talk like that in a crack house or anything. You don't say, do you ever get that loneliness inside? And you think life's always going to be... You don't talk like that, but we talk like that here in Narcotics Anonymous. And I've been restored to sanity. I'm still in love with the idea of the fantasy of using. I discovered as a child, you put a substance in, it changes the world. How fantastic is that? Of course, I'm going to sell my soul for that, like, initially. I'm going to let everyone down. But the thing is, it stopped doing what I needed it to do at the end. It still has an effect. The drugs stop working. It's not that they don't work at all. It's that they don't work in the way I need them to. So I've got to find a different way. And I've found that in Narcotics Anonymous. It's like I have got a life that I didn't think I was capable of achieving or maintaining. And I learned it here. I learned it in Narcotics Anonymous, how to do that. Any problem in life that I've got to face, I've either got a sponsor or someone else in the fellowship who's been before me, who's dealt with it and come through it without using. And so the lie is dead, as they say. Don't have to use. I can use if I wish to, but I know it's just misery and torment. And I ain't lucky enough to die. I'll have 20 years of misery. I mean, and that's I've had that before. I know what that's like. I don't know what tomorrow brings. I do when I'm using, But when I'm clean, I don't. It's like it's life, isn't it? The rich tapestry and all that comes with it. It's like you guys in the treatment center. You're in a microcosm right now of life, all everything condensed, and you're learning the skills to deal with it without using. You should take right advantage of that, because you get fucking responsibilities the longer you clean, and you ain't got any right now. So you might think it's hard, but yeah, just stay in there. And like, I'll finish with this. I done, what was it? You know, 90 meetings in 90 days. I done 8 of them, and I got a black key ring at the end of it. It was that simple. It was that simple. Yeah, so thanks for inviting me along and letting me share. And that whole thing, if you didn't get anything from what I said tonight, there's something wrong with you, seriously. There really is. So anyway, thanks for letting me share.